back once again, folks, for the third night in a row, if you count Friday Night's Wrestling POV podcast. I am I'm Ben Pierce, he's Elio Canella, and yes, we are here again. Can you believe it? This time it is for the NXT Deadline post show. Mm-hmm. And my God, folks.
Oh no.
Okay. Well, don't get it twisted. There was good stuff on this show. All right. But this is gonna be a highly analytical review of this six match show, if you don't include what was on the pre-show. And yes, I have actually made history with this NXT Deadline show, because not only did I watch each Iron Survivor match twice, I also watched the pre-show.
Wow.
For Axiom and Nathan Frazier, which I didn't get my pick right, god damn it. Prefer that one. But so we're already behind the eight ball. But in addition to NXT Deadline, in case you forgot, because we did too, so I don't blame you at all, we have the prediction for Friday night's Ring of Honor final battle.
See how important this pay-per-view is? Tony Khan, why'd you even buy ROH? You don't care nothing about ROH.
Well, clearly. And you know, I feel bad for the talent, like, you know, Athena, who left WWE for this shit. I don't know. But nonetheless.
Should have stayed AEW. Or just stay in WWE. I don't know why he went.
Yeah, it's weird. I prefer her in WWE by a long shot, at least when she's not chasing 24/7 titles and you know, snapping her ACL in half.
Yep.
Or no, I'm sorry, her Achilles, I think it was.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's say we get started with the NXT Deadline.
I have the results from Wrestling Data, so I can also go give you the star ratings that they gave it on this one.
So, Elio, since you mentioned the ratings, let me ask you a question before we jump into this.
Okay.
Because I'm already upset.
Uh-oh.
Okay?
Okay.
Wrestling-wise, I'm very upset, despite the fact that I've had a good day. Yes, take your jacket off.
The professor's getting in teaching mode.
Yes, exactly. Well, you definitely need to be in your professor's chair for this one.
There we go. I'm the yapping dapper, or whatever. The dapper yapper, there you go. Go ahead.
Yes, Justin Roberts has nothing on Elio Canella. by the way, I really do enjoy Justin Roberts, so nothing against him. But CM Punk made an appearance at NXT Deadline, and I'm willing to bet you folks that his time got cut again. Number one, let's think about this. Number one. Why was he there? Because I don't care what he said in his promo, that he had a meeting with Shawn Michaels, it was supposed to be a phone call. I don't care. No one in the wrestling sphere actually believed that he was going to sign with NXT. Nobody.
No.
So why was he even there? Number two, you know, let's just play devil's advocate. Okay, he had the promo, he mentioned it. So from that perspective, it makes sense if you really want to get, you know, picky. But here's the thing. We didn't hear a decision of any kind. He didn't say no to NXT.
No.
He didn't say yes to any other brand, because that announcement was already confirmed for Monday. So not only did he not say no to Shawn Michaels, he didn't say no to anything. So what was the point? I'll tell you what the point was.
To waste time.
Well, that too. But I'll tell you what the point was.
Okay.
They were talking more about CM Punk's Bret Hart hoodie
Oh.
with Shawn Michaels in the ring than anything else.
And they made a big deal about CM Punk made history. He took a selfie with Shawn Michaels.
Yes. And that was not the backstage moment that he had that I give a shit about.
Okay.
Well, not, he was actually in the ring, but backstage, he did have a nice moment with Cora Jade.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah,
Yes.
after the show. So that was very nice.
Yes.
Apparently, he considers both Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez to be his children. And if you
Okay.
guys, well, him and AJ call them that. I don't know. It was this whole thing on Twitter, but if you're if you
I understand Cora Jade. I'm just like, confused about Roxanne Perez.
I don't know. But so in case you missed it, there was a clip that had resurfaced, I think it was from 2013, where a young Cora Jade was
Yeah.
interacting with CM Punk at a signing, and she was crying, and he was
Yeah.
like
Why are you crying?
so
Because
they did like
love you. Oh, jeez.
they did a takeoff of that, and it was legitimately a very nice moment. You can see
Yeah.
that Phil Brooks and I don't know Cora Jade's real name, but you can tell that they really do care about each other, and it was a special moment for them. So good for them on that perspective. Now, if you had just come for that and supported Cora Jade, that would have made more sense. But no, they had to put him on the air for no apparent reason. But getting into
Actually, Cora Jade's real name, Brianna Coda.
okay, well, I did not know that, and you're asking me why? Because I don't stalk pro wrestlers, and I don't have to know every fucking detail.
Right? By the way, Cora Jade was also an AEW for a time.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
She
Huh.
wrestled under the name Elena Black.
Ugh, what the hell? All right.
I don't know.
Nonetheless. Okay, so if we backtrack a little bit now that we're done talking about CM Punk's non-existent, irrelevant, time-consuming promo, even though it was just 6 minutes. Did I mention it was just 6 minutes of wasted time? Okay, yeah. So if we get back to the pre-show match, the Nathan Frazer versus Axiom match. Number one, I was genuinely surprised that Axiom won. This match was supposed to take place
On Tuesday.
on Tuesday, but it was interrupted by the women having a brawl in
Not taking
anticipation
calls right now.
of their
There who
Iron
depends.
Survivor Challenge match.
Ben Fenster trying to call in.
Yes, well, oh, speaking of fans, Josh Sanders got playfully mad at me.
Uh-oh. Okay, you told me. Unless you want to bring it up now, but
No, it's fine. I'll tell you off the air.
all right, very good.
But that was interesting, to say the least. So that match, considering how good it was, I'm not sure why it was on the pre-show, because I would have taken that match over Carmelo Hayes and Alexis King and
Wow.
Roxanne Perez versus Kiana James. That was a better match than both of the matches that made the main card by a long shot.
Now, would you have taken the Carmelo Hayes one out altogether, or would you have switched places with Axiom and Nathan Frazer?
I would have switched. Well, no, I would have taken it out, to tell you the truth, because
Right, because
one,
Carmelo Hayes doesn't belong on a kickoff show.
Well, exactly, and that was what I was gonna say. That's why I said that he shouldn't be on there. But the match itself was not very good. Number one, I know we're jumping ahead, but that was just not good. And we'll get into further detail on that a little bit later on. But so yes, Axiom and Nathan Frazer definitely deserved to be on the card because that was an awesome match.
It really was.
Just both of those guys are incredible athletes, and when Axiom was a kid in NXT UK, he was awesome then, and he's awesome now. I'm not sure, to tell you the truth, if the Axiom gimmick is going to last. I don't know if that's a win for him, but in terms of the guy's talent, he's definitely got something there.
I mean,
And
the superhero elements kind of like wearing off. I think it's like starting to run its course.
Well, yes, but not only with Axiom. I think the superhero thing in wrestling is starting
Yeah,
to
that's what I'm
wear
saying. That's
thin.
what I'm saying. The superhero
Yes,
thing itself.
because to me, in my childhood, the only superhero was Rey Mysterio, and then
You
I
mean
guess
it
no.
wasn't Rosie and the Hurricane? I had to go on.
But by the way, speaking of that, we were talking about Umaga last night, and I wanna what not what I think we were talking about either Friday or last night, but I saw a thing online where he was still Jamal when he was part of the 3 minute warning, and they were showing just how impactful his Samoan drop was. I think he had the best Samoan drop in the game. I mean, that shit looked like it hurt like a bitch. But I digress. Rest in peace, Umaga. They did the tribute to him on Monday Night Raw for the main event. That was awesome. Thoroughly enjoyed that. But yes, if you guys did not get a chance to watch the pre-show, because I don't blame you for that either, because I typically don't watch pre-shows, but definitely go back and check out this match. I think you'll find this one much more appealing than some of the matches that landed on the main card. So shout out to Axiom and Nathan Frazer for really delivering what they should have been given on Tuesday. But I'm glad they got like an elevated platform to show off, because they did very well. Now, next,
Hold on. Rate rating.
I would give that a 3.5 star.
Okay. Yeah. I'm there with you. I would give it a three star, and Wrestling Data gave it a hold on. Let me just get the exact number, because I'm looking at the stars right now. But for the exact number, they gave it a 5 star.
Well, both of those guys are awesome. I think that's a little generous, but it was an awesome match.
Yep, I agree.
Now, to lead off the main card, we had, excuse me, Dominic Mysterio versus Dragon Lee for the North American title, with Rey Mysterio both in the corner of Dragon Lee, because he came out with him, and then also he joined Booker T and Vic Joseph on commentary. Now, before we get into the actual match, the commentary here was very weird. There was a very strange dynamic going on between Booker T and Ray, because And this part was so stupid because Booker T was trying to make the argument that at this point in his career, at 24 years old, that Dominic has already accomplished more than his dad had when he was at the same point in his career.
What?
So it's just, it was
What?
asinine.
That makes no sense. What?
So he says that
No,
Dominic
I
at what?
know. I heard you. I'm saying that makes no sense.
Yeah, it really doesn't. How many cruiserweight championships had Ray won by the time he was 24? And so on and so forth. Introduced an entire style of wrestling to a U.S. audience that largely hadn't seen it before.
Right.
Now also credit has to be given in that department, I think, to Liger, but I would credit Rey Mysterio for bringing it to the mass audience. So that commentary was very strange. But for a 10-minute and 40-second match, this was very, very good. The fact that Dominic can keep up with these guys and has grown to the degree that he has, it makes this a very interesting match. And him playing off of his dad the whole time, and Dragon Lee being his protege and quote unquote turning his back on Dom or whatever, and Dom had a problem with that and was shooting off his mouth and like blowing kisses at Ray the whole time. So that was interesting. Now there were two other points in the match that I really want to talk about. Number one, very early on, Dragon Lee was started to bleed. So I'm assuming he took a bad kick to the mouth. And then there was also, well, actually more than two spots. The DDT, the first DDT onto the apron, looked bad. Like that was a botch by Dom, because I was concerned. That looked very nasty. And
Yeah.
then the other part was, there were two of the same spots, which typically I don't like seeing repeat spots when it's not a finisher in a match. They did the rope hang stomp for Dragon Lee, where Dom is upside down in the tree of woe kind of thing.
Yep, the tree of woe in the
And
corner, yeah. And he did the head stomp, right?
yes, he
Yep.
did it twice. Talking about Dragon Lee. Now, so the match itself was very, very good outside of that botch, in my opinion. But here's the problem, and I mentioned it when we were going over the pre-show last night. And when I say pre-show, I don't mean the NXT pre-show. I mean for the podcast.
Right.
So you have Dominic Mysterio and Dragon Lee for the North American title. Neither one of them are NXT stars.
Right.
So how does this work? Now, I know originally I understand why they gave it to Dom, but it really didn't make sense. And it would have been perfect for Dragon Lee to win it while he was still on,
NXT.
exactly. Especially with the storyline going on with Ray. But the bottom line is, he is a SmackDown star now, They are really pushing this guy, which is why I think they gave him the title, which in and of itself isn't a bad move to give a guy a title who you're really spotlighting. I enjoy that. They've been looking for this. They've been looking for the next Rey Mysterio for a decade and a half, and I think they, I don't think there is another Rey Mysterio, but in terms of next man up for the Luchadors, I think Dragon Lee is definitely it. But it's just, why are they competing for the North American Championship when they're not on that brand?
So now my question is, what so are they gonna have Dragon Lee defending the NXT North American Championship on SmackDown? Because if they do that, and they were, let's say, have him drop it to another SmackDown star, it would make no sense.
Well, yeah, and I think what they're gonna end up doing is the same thing that they did with Dom, is they're gonna flex him between the main roster and NXT until he drops it. Now, like I said before, don't get it twisted. I think it's a good idea to give Dragon Lee a title. I like that spotlight, but it just doesn't make sense that it would be for an NXT championship. But then again, Dragon Lee is very strongly aligned with Rey Mysterio. So from storyline perspective and building Dragon Lee to be the next guy, the match and the championship made sense, but the fact that it's an NXT championship and neither one of them are on NXT, it's like, what does that say about the North American title? What's the purpose of the North American title? You can't, because you can't call it, oh, the NXT equivalent of the IC title anymore, because it's not on NXT. So from that perspective, it's a real problem, and I don't think that that should be overlooked. But in terms of everything else, I liked it very much.
So we got this prediction right. Because we both picked Dragon Lee, I believe.
Yes, we did.
So
Absolutely.
this one was right.
Yes. So
Oh.
we are both 1-1 with predictions thus
So
far.
what do you have for this match?
I give it kind of the
Three
same
three and
rating,
a
three and a
half.
half.
Yeah, I give him 3.5. Okay, on star rating they got 3.9 out of 6. So like say around the same, 3.5.
Well, on that scale, it's a little bit less, but yeah, I can see that, and especially if you take into account what I just said, if they're basing it off of that, then I absolutely agree. Now, the next match,
This made me, the results for this one made me mad. I just don't get it.
I don't get it either. And let me say, we can get this match in
I
before
know,
we.
I'm just looking, because I'm learning how to like time the show from the upper right hand corner. So I'm just,
Oh,
yeah.
okay, very good. But okay, before we get into the match, let's talk about the Iron Survivor stipulation. I really like the match concept.
Is it kind of like the championship scramble though, or
Yes, it is. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because I mentioned it the very first time we saw the Iron Survivor Challenge, is
yeah.
what it reminded me of. And you're exactly right. I like the concept. Especially given the time limit, because I think the championship scramble, you had to fill up more time. So the fact that they have a time limit on it, and they have the penalty box and all that, I like the structure of it. Here's where you run into a problem.
Okay.
Pacing wise, this women's match was very weird. Because they came out of, they were really pushing Lash Legend in this match for a long time. She was in the lead with two falls, which I'm not trying to be an asshole toward Lash, but we've discussed how we feel about that, and the fact that she was spotlighted almost more than anybody was just strange. And it took a long time for the match to really get going. And for me personally, there wasn't much intrigue going into it because there wasn't a star that I believe is going to take the title away from Lyra Valkyria, because Valkyria is just on a different level. You know what I mean?
I like her as champion.
Yes, I do too. And then, so overall, Davenport won the match, which was very weird
It
to me.
was.
That was out of left field. How did you feel about that?
I don't like it because okay, you picked Tiffany Stratton. I went with Fallon Henley. But when I saw Blair Davenport, I'm like, what? Because I've never been a fan of hers. I just don't get it with this character that she's playing.
Yes.
And I'm not really have no interest in seeing Blair Davenport and Lyra Valkyria because they had better not put the title on Blair Davenport.
Well, and I don't see it, so why, I mean,
Right, but I'm saying, why would they have her win if I don't see them putting the title on her?
yeah, so we're both we're voicing the same opinion.
Yeah.
There were a couple of things that I liked. I liked the focus that Fallon seemed to be getting. I thought that this was a very good spotlight match for her. And also and also, despite the fact that I don't like her very much, they did a good job trying to build up Lash Legend. Now, I don't like the fact, even though I picked Tiffany Stratton to win, I don't like the fact that she was in it because she didn't need it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, she doesn't need to win a match to get a championship. She was already champion, like I think twice, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's just a little weird for me. So from a logic perspective and, you know, just an investment perspective, I had a hard time getting into this match. But the second, in all fairness, the second half of it really did pick up and got much better. It just took a long time to get there. And I'm not blaming them because, you know, that I'm sure that dynamic and that stipulation is hard to work around if you're not used to it. But I think when you have a time limit situation, you really gotta, you know, cut down on the slow parts. And there was just too much of that for me. Like, it kind of reminded me of like the war game situation where they wait around and like set out the next spot kind of thing. And Kalani Jordan did not come out of this looking good.
She's another one I just don't get, and she's always bringing up gym that she was a gymnast.
No, nobody cares.
This is not gymnastics, this is professional wrestling.
Exactly.
So why do you keep bringing it up? Stop.
So if we were doing the traditional high point, low point format, this would be, honestly, this would be a low point for me.
Yeah.
Because it.
Same with me. This would be a low point because as okay as the match was in parts, not happy with the results.
Absolutely. I think they missed an opportunity there.
And they gave this a 4 out of 4 out of 6.
I don't know what they're looking at.
What?
We will take a second to digest that bullshit rating, and we will be right back with continuing coverage of NXT Deadline. Stay right there. And we're back, and we will get into the next match. God, it was so riveting. Elio, I'll let you start out because I feel like I'm talking too much. What did you
Yeah,
what were your thoughts on Alexis King and Carmelo Hayes?
I wasn't really looking forward to this match, and it wasn't exactly the greatest match. Alexis King, I get the name, I just don't like the character. And apparently, they're rolling with this. They're continuing with this. Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams storyline, because Alexis King said he didn't attack Trick Williams, so. I mean,
And what was,
we
you
all know where
know,
they're going. We all know where they're going with this.
yeah, that Carmelo Hayes was the one that took him out.
Yeah, but yeah, for me, there was nothing really stood out in this match. I gave it like a 2.
Yeah, I gave it a two as well. It's not that anything was. Obtrusively bad. It was just that they were really playing up the thought that Carmelo Hayes looks off. So maybe that was the reason why they did it that way. I'm not sure. I understand that Lexus King is playing the instigator and trying to get between Carmelo and Trick, because like I said, I really do think that the storyline is going to end with Carmelo Hayes having been the one to take Trick out. Now, the reason for that is your guess is as good as mine, because there's no reason for Carmelo to be jealous of Trick. If anything, it should be the other way around. It's just this was one of those matches where I feel like it didn't have to be on the show. And as I mentioned earlier, I wouldn't have put Carmelo Hayes on the pre-show, but I wouldn't have had this match with Alexis King because he's getting better, and I think he definitely is better than he was in AEW. But I don't think that he's where he needs to be in order to be on a PLE.
And I agree with but
And
get rid of that beard. Stop with the marked up beard.
yes, it really is. And then something else that I noticed that I found weird is Vic Joseph was asking Booker about his relationship with Brian Pillman Sr. and
Oh, okay.
talking about how Booker didn't like him. Booker didn't They didn't see eye to eye. Now, they didn't get into any reasoning, thank God, because that wouldn't have been professional. But
Right.
the thing is, if they're trying to separate, if they're trying to get the characters to separate from Brian Pillman, then they need to keep it, separate.
Yeah.
Because anyone that looks at him knows that he's Brian Pillman's son.
Right.
He's the spitting image of him.
I'm glad they got rid of the mullet, like, because he did look like Brian Pillman, like when he was in the MLW and AEW.
But I still think he's the spitting image of him. But
Yeah.
it was just weird how like the entire point of this Alexis King character is to separate himself from his father, but yet they're mentioning it on commentary and how similar they are, and like to a
Right.
certain degree I get it, because you can't not acknowledge the existence of Brian Pillman Sr.
Right.
But it's just strange to me. And you know, it's like you said, nothing about this match
Nope.
really, you know, stood out to me. And why would, I mean, we got the explanation of why Lexus King was doing this, because as Carmelo was leaving the ring, he said, "I did this to get a PLE spot,
Yeah.
not because I attacked Trent." Well, that was a lot of effort to get
Right.
onto a
I
PLE, and you know, it's
mean,
just.
wasn't it where at the end I think Carmelo told or if it was the other way around, one of them told the other to shake their hand.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it was Brian telling Carmelo, and he was like, "I'm not, you know, I'm not
Yeah.
doing that. There's no possible way. Stop, you know, I'm not gonna shake it," because he didn't want to give the impression that he was in league
Right.
with King in attacking Trick. So, there were just a lot of weird elements. I understand that, you know, the whole Carmelo and Trick thing was a narrative throughout the evening, and we'll explore that more as we get into the main event, which, well, not the, I don't think the yeah, the main event. You know what, folks? It's not that it, like I said, it's not that it was bad. It was just, it felt like filler, and I feel like Carmelo Hayes doesn't deserve that.
No, it
And
felt like any other match I could have been on NXT.
yes, and also, you know, they spent a lot of time advancing this Carmelo and Trick thing, and to be honest with you, I'm not all that interested.
No,
I
like.
would rather the focus be on the, you know, the world title, because that's what the Iron Survivor match was for, in terms of determining a number one contender for that championship, who would face Ilya Dragunov at New Year's Evil.
Are we on that one?
What?
Are we on that match, the Iron Survivor match?
No, I'm still wrapping up with
Oh,
Carmelo and
okay.
Trick.
Okay.
But it was just kind of weird. It was very focused on this storyline versus the two of them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just kind of odd.
Well, here we go with the rating that they gave 3.4 out of 6.
Well,
Stop.
that's, for them, I feel like that's a fair rating, you know, because a 3 out of 6 in America is a 50 out of 100.
Okay.
So, I mean, they're giving it like a 2-star 2.
Right.
But you know, it was just kind of bleh. And the thing is, they were trying to push the thing of like, this is the most personal match that Carmelo Hayes has had, because he's defending his friendship with Trick, and you know, the people in the audience called him guilty last week, and it's just like, I get it, but this is not a good story to tell.
No, it is not. This is like I said before, this is Triple H and Shawn Michaels from 2002 all over again.
Except that was much better.
Yeah.
You know, I saw it again on Twitter today from someone that I follow, whose opinion I respect very much. He said NXT is like consistently the best product on WWE TV. And I'm like,
No, what?
what the fuck?
No.
No,
No,
it's not.
because you have
But
Shawn Michaels there. Someone needs to get rid of Shawn Michaels because he can't book shows.
No,
I
I
think
think
I
that's been
think I think he's living in the Attitude Era slash the Ruthless Aggression era.
Yeah, I would agree.
Like, just it's not that time period is over.
Yeah, by a long shot. Absolutely. So, next up, we had what I thought was the highlight of the evening, which was the men's Iron Survivor match.
Yes.
And folks,
Well, I'm sorry, before you go on, so far we have Dragon Lee. We're wrong on Blair Davenport, so we're 1-1. We picked Carmelo Hayes for Lexus King.
we picked Carmelo Hayes.
So we're 2-1 so far. And who did we pick on this match, the Iron Survivor?
I picked Tyler Bate.
Oh yeah, I think we both went Tyler Bate and we were both wrong. Jeez, we're 1-3. We're 1-3. Or no,
Yeah,
two.
so we're not doing too hot
No,
right
so no,
now.
sorry, we're 2-2. We're no 2-3. Wait. Two
Hold
and
on.
one. We're 2-1. We only got two right so far. Out of three, out of No, we got okay. We got, I got Axiom. I got, we got both got Dragon Lee. So I'm 2-1.
And I'm 1-2.
I am 3-1. I'm 3-2. I'm 3-2.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I was just trying to figure out the how our record, our track record on the pay-per-view. Okay, go on.
Yes. And so story-wise, I felt like this match was much better. They were really focusing on Trick Williams throughout the night,
I
and
can't believe Trick Williams got four pins in this match.
but dude, he got him in like a minute and a half.
Yeah, but I like
Like, yeah,
they should have given him more time. Why are you like getting these quick pins in succession?
well, because they were trying to do the whole like, back against the wall,
Yeah.
desperate kind of thing. But at the same time, it's like it was kind of stupid
Well, that's what I'm
because
saying. You're trying to tell the story here, but like you're having them get these quick pins.
yeah. But in terms of I like the match because it really did put like equal spotlight on several different guys. Because Bate, Dijak, and Breaker had three falls late in the match.
Right.
So and although Breaker got his pins much in the way that Trick did, except he got his faster. He got three pins off of three spears in like 40 seconds. So they were really trying to play, I guess, the quick strike game and
Right.
for the Trick Willy shot. They were trying to do a trick shot. That's what we'll call this episode.
Oh, there we go. Oh, wait. What do we call it? I'm just gonna write it down so I don't forget.
Trick shot.
Trick shot. Okay.
I liked it because at least they were sticking with a story. I liked it because they were spotlighting different guys, and they each got like equal time outside of Trick, but I was very impressed with the performance of Bate and Dijak in particular. I
Right,
think.
and this character that Jack's doing, it, I'm not really a fan of it, but his in-ring work was great in this match.
Yes, and I was very happy to see that. And They were also doing a good job spotlighting Bate in terms of like saying, you know, he had a lot of success earlier in his career in NXT UK, but he's had difficulty, you know, reclaiming that success in recent years.
Yep.
And you know, he really had a nice showing for himself. I would have picked him to win.
We
I
did pick him to win.
no, I know, but I would have really liked to have seen
Yeah,
him
no,
win
yeah. Yep.
because to me, Ilya versus Bate
Tyler.
is a very fascinating match.
I mean, what are we gonna do? Ilya Dragunov versus Trick Williams. I don't know. I just.
Yeah, but see, that's why, because it sucks.
Yeah.
Like the story that they're telling, okay, I get it, but like when you actually get down to brass tacks and look at the match, I
Yep.
don't think it's a good matchup.
No, I mean, what you gonna you know you're not gonna put the belt on Trick Williams.
I'll tell you what, brother, what if they do?
Then I'm really gonna be mad. I was like, well, why? Why are you giving this guy so much spotlight?
You know, and if he beats Ilya Dragunov, I swear to God, I'm never watching NXT again. I don't care. You guys can talk about NXT until your faces blow up on wrestling POV, but I'm not. You know, you can blow up like Violet from the Charlotte Factory.
Oh
I don't give a damn. If Trick wins, I am not watching NXT anymore.
Exactly.
I don't give a fuck.
There you go.
And no, I won't pull a Ryback and switch the stipulation and you know when it backfires on me. No.
There you go. You see my name? My name?
Let me pull it up now. Hold on. Yes, you no longer have a name, you're just a description. Your face blown up. Very good. So next up we had ratings wise, from a story perspective, like I said, it was good. You know, but you know, match wise and result wise, I'm not really interested in seeing Trick versus Ilya, so that took
Nope.
the match down a notch for me. Even though I acknowledge the fantastic work of the guys involved,
Yes.
I'm gonna give this a 4 star.
Okay, yeah, I would agree with that. This was the best match of the night so far. Well, so far we have like only two more left. So yeah, I gave it a 4 as well. This one got a 4.8 out of 6.
Oh God. Well,
That's a little high.
that's a bit high, but not, it's not ridiculous.
No.
You know, because a lot of the time the ratings end up being ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now this, if we were doing the traditional high points,
One
low
low
points,
point.
this would be the next match would be a low point.
Yeah, this was bad.
I'm not sure what the point was of the steel cage match between Roxanne Perez
Kiana
and
James.
Kiana James. And folks, like I said, I have been watching NXT routinely for the last year. And I couldn't tell you what the story was between these two going in.
Did
Do
this
you
one
know what it
just
was, Elio?
start? Because I myself am confused because
I don't know.
I do not recall these two ever having an interaction prior to like recently. I could be wrong, but I don't recall the interaction.
I don't recall it either, and that should tell you something, folks, because Elio's been watching this version of NXT much longer than me.
Yeah.
So you know, At least now I don't feel stupid because I missed something obvious.
I mean, far as I know, last time Kiana James, she was tag team champions with Fallon Henley, and
Yeah.
that's the last I remember of her. And I don't even recall the last feud she was in.
No,
That's how
it
much
was
I. Sorry.
she that was the one that she was in with Fallon Henley, and because
Oh, okay.
she was flirting with Josh Briggs.
Okay. Yeah, but
It wasn't Jensen.
then
No,
they
she
were
was
tag
flirting
team.
with Jensen.
Yeah, but then
Yeah.
they were tag team champions, but they were still like conflicting.
Yeah.
So.
So, yeah, there's really not much I can say about this
No.
match. There was nothing that stood out. It was probably the most basic, boring, cage match I've ever seen. And, I'm gonna pull an Elio. I'm gonna, we're gonna switch identities here for a second.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I'm gonna be you and you're gonna be me.
All right, hold on a minute. Go on.
Now, here's the problem, folks, because I hated the stipulation of this match. Not the cage match, but the fact that it was a submission. It was a pinfall or
Oh my
submission
God,
match
just stop.
in a cage.
Okay, Ben, check your name for a minute.
Yes, I see that.
Oh,
Yes, I am. We have stepped in Steve Urkel's transformation machine. I forget what it's called. And instead of Elio, I am now Elio, and he is me. So this is awesome. We have officially switched identities, which is doubly fitting because I'm acting as the host this evening. This is fun. Oh, and then before I so getting back into the stipulation thing, it was a pinfall or submission cage match.
I hate this. It's not pinfall or submission. It's go over the top or through the door.
And they made it very clear that you can't win that way, because I was like,
My God.
at one point right toward the end, why am I getting that ad on this site? That's fucking weird. I'm getting an inappropriate ad on the site I'm using. What the fuck?
Ben, are you watching stuff you shouldn't be watching again?
Well,
What did I tell you, sir?
according to this
Go to the
website,
principals, the dean wants to have a word with you.
well, I swear to God, I'm not. I wish I had screen share. I'm not sure what's happening here. That was very random. But anyway, oh, I lost my train of thought. That was
No, you
very
were saying
strange.
they made it clear that they couldn't win by going over the top.
By going over the top or through the door, because there was a spot, right before, Izzy Dane came out, that,
Oh, okay, that was in this matchup because you were asking me about Izzy Dane.
yes,
Yes.
and so it was like Kiana was trying to get through the door, but then she was messing, under the ring. She had her head sticking out, and she was lifting up the apron while she was still in the cage, and she was trying to get a chair in the ring. And while she was doing all that, she got her head smashed by the door of the cage by Izzy Dane. And so it's like, so I'm thinking about this whole thing, and I'm like, hold on, I'm gonna get rid of this ad. It's bothering me. Hey, what the hell is going on here?
Uh-oh. So yeah, is he deemed one of the NXT breakout tournament participants?
Yes.
So
And thank you for clarifying that, because I was very confused.
yeah.
Here, I can't get
I
rid of it.
don't know
I'll
if
just.
that I don't know if they're gonna use her like on in the storyline now or
Well, it's very random, and
yeah.
I'm like, but my overall point was like, why wouldn't she just crawl out of the door? That's the entire purpose of a cage match,
Right. I swear,
I don't.
I really hate that they've made it this way, like to win matches that you can win by pinfall. I really
Because if you're gonna do that, then what's the point of having a cage match?
exactly. And then when they say that cage's supposed to keep others out, it's supposed to keep the wrestlers in and others out.
Yeah, and they didn't do that because Izzy Dane got involved. And then the last time we saw a cage match over on AEW, people were outside the cage fighting in the middle of the match. It was just like, what's the point?
Like wrestling, they have ruined steel cage matches for me.
Well, I absolutely agree with you. So it's very strange. So yeah, this one was a miss for me. I would give this a 1.5 out of 5.
Yeah. I would give it a one as well. This apparently I hear they liked it more than we did because they gave it a 3.3 out of six.
For what
What?
reason? Okay, so
No
we got rid of
idea.
that. I don't know why that was happening. I don't mean to act distracted or immature, but that was very random. Here, I'm just doing a wrestling thing, and then all of a sudden, boom,
Yeah,
I'm
no,
looking
I
at
hear you.
something.
I get the same when I'm looking up something. I'm trying to find wrestling news, and I get hit with stupid ads like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it just like whoa. I used to see that ad on late night TV. If you catch my drift, not in the middle of the early evening while I'm doing my job.
Right.
But so the fact that this was not the fact that the men's match was n not the main event was very strange because that was my prediction going in. And then not only did the women's match go on to be a huge disappointment, but well, I take that back because the NXT title was in the main event, but I just
Yeah,
got.
I was gonna say, well, I mean, it did make sense because the NXT title was the main event, the championship on the line.
Yeah, but at the same time, with how big of a deal they were making out of Iron and Survivor, I wouldn't have been surprised. But I do have to take that back because they didn't break my rule.
But they gave the Roxanne Perez Keanu Chain match 11 minutes and 27 seconds.
Yeah, that's just
That's
too much.
awfully long.
Yeah, for those ladies, and no disrespect intended. But the main event was actually very, very solid. So,
And we're talking about Baron Corbin here.
yeah, but here's the thing, and I think once I say this, you'll remember me saying this. So when Baron Corbin was on the main roster, I was not a fan at all. Actually, throughout the history of this podcast, I've had quite a problem with Baron Corbin.
Right, you've been in a feud with, he's one of the guys you've been in a feud with.
Yes. However, on this run in NXT, when they finally got him out of the stupid outfits, they bought the bike back. He's much closer to the lone wolf gimmick. And they got the burning ships as a theme now, and that's awesome. And he's not wrestling in a shirt, and we've always known that Baron has tattoos, but he looks like he's recently wrapping up a back piece that he was working on for a long time, and like he looks like badass now.
Yeah.
Like he always had tattoos, but like with his back piece, he looks badass, and with this whole new, more serious gimmick, I'm able to take Baron Corbin seriously. And the way that they handled this build-up with Corbin and Dragunov, and I was not a fan of the matchup because it seems like a mismatch, but the way that they built it up, I have to give NXT and Shawn Michaels credit. They did a very good job here.
I'm a huge fan of Ilya Dragunov.
I've loved him since his first match that he had with Walter.
Yeah.
And
Like, but for me, it's like even before that because like I've been watching UK since it began. But yeah, since I first saw him, I was like, there's something about this guy. Like, he used to come out with red contact lenses. I'm like, okay.
But it's not just that. Like he has this air to him that,
Yeah.
despite the fact that he's a cruiserweight, he has this air to him that he can hang with anybody. And he looks intimidating as hell, but he makes you believe that he's intimidating.
Yeah, so I'm
Like.
saying, like, he used to come out with the red contacts, but in the ring, the way he works in the ring, he can work against anyone, especially a guy the size of Walter.
Yeah, and but credit to Baron Corbin here. He had a very good showing here. This was one of the better showings I've seen from him in quite a long time. I was very impressed with how solid that match is. Now, the argument is that Ilya that I saw online as I was watching this thing was that Ilya Dragunov can bring anybody to a solid match. Yes, he can. Absolutely. But for as much shit as I've had to say about Baron Corbin in the past, because to me he has legitimately come off like an asshole in real life, like on social media and stuff, and like posting about his cars and his watches and all this stuff. I personally, I don't respect that at all. But the guy showed up and he did a very solid work last night. And he got me invested in a match that I was not anticipating being invested in. And for that, I have to give credit where it's due. And I hope that Baron sticks with this, because if he does, long term, I think that it could be very good for him, and it could make people take him more seriously. Because for all of the stuff that I've said, Baron Corbin has always been a very solid wrestler, very good at what he does in his lane. But he's just never really gotten past that level. I don't think Baron Corbin is a guy that people want to see in a marquee match like that. At least that's what I've been saying for a long time. But to his credit, he showed up in a marquee match and he did the damn thing, for lack of a better term.
Let me ask you, do you think we will ever see a face Baron Corbin? Or, I mean, he works better as a heel, but I'm just asking, do you think we'll ever see a face Corbin?
I think it would help him. And that's weird for me to say, because I think I've only seen Corbin as a heel.
Yeah, he's always been a heel from when he first started in NXT.
But I think a face run would help him. And I do remember at one point during a live event, people were cheering for him, and you could tell that he was like emotionally moved by that. So I do think that it could help him in the future. And certainly if he continues to wrestle like he did against Ilya last night, then I will gladly continue to give him credit, because Outside of a few, instances which I've just described to you, I don't look to have issues with people.
Right.
Like I've not liked the way Seth Rollins has handled himself in the past, but lately I feel like he's been a class act. And I think the thing with CM Punk was a work. I've said bad things about Braun Strowman.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm saying we're about to go.
Yeah, I can get it done.
All
But
right.
it's just like, so even though like I say things and I mean what I say, if that wrestler turns around and does something awesome, or acts in a way that's awesome in real life, I have no problem bringing that up too. So it's never like a personal thing outside of a limited number of things.
Right.
Like I had a very big personal problem with ACH. And I did not like what Braun Strowman had to say about, independent wrestlers and t-shirts. But outside of that, I'm not in the business of having personal beefs with people. I don't have time for that.
All right, and
But with that in mind, we're about to get kicked off, so we'll come back and finish up right after this. And we're back, and before the break, we were talking about the main event. And ratings wise, I would give that a 3.5
I would agree.
out of 5.
Yep.
And Elio agrees with me because he's an intelligent man. No, I'm kidding. Overall, I thought that this pay-per-view was very solid, if a little forced at times, with at least two of the matches that I felt didn't have to be on the card. Very, very solid work from nearly everybody involved. And yeah, this was a good reason to come on and do a show. Which is always a good excuse to come on and hang out with you guys and have some fun on the weekend. But in the slightly peevish, way, in a slightly PO'd kind of way, I'm just realizing that we still have two more pay-per-views in December, if you count all of the AEW offerings. And
And I thought last next week was gonna be our last show for the year.
No, not by a long shot.
Well, because the week after is the Christmas weekend.
But we got so much
Yeah.
on the agenda. I don't think that that's a good idea.
All right, so we'll record a Festivus episode. Happy
Yeah,
Festivus, Ben! Where's your aluminum pole?
that's hilarious. But with Ring of Honor Final Battle coming up on
Oh,
Friday,
God.
we figured we'd also squeeze in our predictions before we round out the
Might
show for the
as
evening.
well. I don't know. I'm looking at this card. Okay, are you ready for this? We're gonna go
Well,
top.
first of all, how many matches are there?
There are five, and your ROH World Champions not even on the show. The final show of the year, your ROH Champions not on there because he put his title in both championships up in the Continental Classic Tournament.
Which in and of itself is stupid because that's not what the Continental Classic is about.
Right, like it doesn't make sense. Tony Khan doesn't care about ROH. Just stop.
I'm not sure why it's a thing,
So,
to
okay,
tell you the truth.
we'll talk about. Here we go. So, we have in a survival of the fittest finals for the vacant ROH World Television Championship, it will be Dalton Castle versus Commander versus Kyle Fletcher versus Lee Johnson versus Lee Moriarty versus a final participant yet to be determined.
God, they don't even know. They don't even know who, the entirety of who's in it.
Right.
Good Lord. So who do you have winning?
I'm gonna go with the to be determined. It's always from like past experience, it's always like turned out like that. That the surprise entry usually ends up winning.
Yeah, who were the other three? Just remind me, because apparently I have a short-term memory.
It's Dalton Castle, Commander, Kyle Fletcher, Lee Johnson, and Lee Moriarty.
Okay, well, apparently that was a bigger match than I thought it was. Perhaps I misheard you. I'm sorry. Jesus, my brain is dry. Give me a break. This is our third consecutive podcast. Based on prior knowledge of how professional wrestling works, I'm going to go with the to be determined entrant.
Next, we have Keith Lee versus Shane Taylor.
Too big of a story to be told out on a nothing network. Oh my God. This pisses me off beyond belief. I'm going to go with Keith Lee.
Okay. I'm going to go with Keith Lee as well on this one. Then we have an I Quit match. Ethan Page versus Tony Nese with Smart Mark Sterling. Yay!
Ethan Page. Ethan Page deserves a push.
Yep, I've got Ethan Page on this one.
I didn't see it, but apparently he had a very good match on Collision. I might check it out.
Then we have a Fight Without Honor match. Not sure what that is.
Yes, in tribute to Jay Briscoe, apparently.
Oh, okay. So we have FTR and Mark Briscoe versus the Blackpool Combat Club.
Well, if it's going to be in tribute to Jay, which is what
I've got FTR and Mark Briscoe.
Then it has to be FTR and Mark Briscoe.
A side note, I was reading this. Like, Brian Danielson was asked about possibly adding two members to the Blackpool Combat Club.
Yeah.
His first pick would have been, he said, would be Powerhouse Hobbs.
Well, that's a very weird pick.
His second pick would be Hook.
Oh, for
well, okay,
he just lost all credibility with that argument in the Blackpool Combat Club.
Are you
no?
All right, so the fifth match. For the ROH Women's World Championship, Athena versus Billy Starks. Apparently, Billy Starks is a heel, or Athena. Is Athena a heel or a face? I don't even know.
I don't know. I really don't.
I'm confused. Either way, Athena was attacked last time. She was attacked by Billy Starks, so.
Last time I saw Athena, she was a heel, so I'm going to go off of that assumption.
Okay.
Because I haven't heard anything to the contrary.
I'm just wondering why Billy Starks would attack her then. I have no idea. Go ahead. Yeah.
So, anywho, I'm going to go with Athena.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Athena as well. On this one, this is really... This pay-per-view, I just don't know. I mean, looking at this... these matches, what do you think?
I'm not impressed. I am kind of interested in the Jay Briscoe tribute match.
That one, yes. But I mean, the rest of this.
It needs to be bolstered in order for me to care about it. Because if that's because I'm gonna look at the card, you know, as we get closer to Friday night, and we won't be on Friday night to cover it because we have a wrestling POV episode to record.
Yep.
We are nothing if we're not loyal to our friends over at POV. Shout out to the fellas, and so instead of doing That way we're gonna do we're planning on doing the final battle review on Saturday. Am I correct in that
Yes.
thought?
Yes,
Okay.
sir.
I was just double checking with you in case something popped up. And then but you know, if this card doesn't improve, and knowing Tony Khan, he's gonna add a shitload to it, so I do anticipate it improving. But if it doesn't, then I'm not gonna bother covering this. Because as it stands right now, it doesn't seem worth it to me.
No, I mean, this is a very weird card. You see, okay, this is a problem I have.
Yeah.
I've seen ROH, this ROH, and in the one episode that I watched, and a couple of episodes I've watched, they advertised AEW in the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. They never advertised ROH on AEW television.
Well, it tells you where their priority is then.
Like it's terrible, like the way they treat this company. Like I already said, I really have no idea why Tony Khan bought this company, because he clearly doesn't care about ROH.
Yeah, well, I would tend to agree with you, because just look at the results, and you know, I'm one of those guys, and I've been very honest with this. I'm an ROH guy because, you know, I'm familiar with that product because it was in my backyard for a long time. When they were owned and operated by Sinclair Broadcasting, which is li literally 20 minutes away from my house. I actually got tickets to several ROH shows because my
Which we've
I have
covered
a
on past episodes.
yes, and I have I like I said, I have a friend that works at Sinclair, so I've gotten tickets over there several times. And this just doesn't ring true to the ROH that I know. You know, now granted, have I gone out of my way to watch this current version? No. But I do keep track of it online,
I
and
just watched it out of curiosity, just to see what it's like, and I couldn't do it.
but you know, like, we can't, honestly, it would be torture to cover that, because it's like, I don't think enough people watch it to warrant covering it. It's the same thing with Impact, you know, because if we covered every single wrestling show, we would never have a day off. Yeah, that's why we focus on WWE and AEW, obviously, because they're the biggest companies in the US. But I'm saying, like, if we chose to cover, you know, the ROH tapings, the Impact tapings, versus just like a pay-per-view here and there, if we feel it necessary or warranted, you know, you guys would be hearing from us every day, and you guys would be getting burned out on us. And we don't want that. You know, we want to have quality, fun conversation with you guys. We don't want this to sound like homework, and I don't want to get called into the professor's office because someone's mad at me because I forgot to do an assignment, you know? And plus, we want to do the fun stuff, you know, with the you know, retrospective show that we recently debuted. But based on that card, it seems like our show is going to be more entertaining than that. You know, no offense. So make sure you tune in on Tuesday for our WrestleMania 4 retrospective.
Well, we're gonna take a bit of a detour prior to heading over to New Jersey for WrestleMania. We are gonna take a slight detour and head over to Indianapolis, Indiana, the Market Square Arena. for the entire backstory leading up to WrestleMania 4.
Yes, because you have explained to me that there's a backstory that I'm not aware of in relation to the tournament that they ran at
Yes, sir.
WrestleMania,
Yes,
correct?
sir. You're gonna love this story. And I'm gonna tell you right now, and Ben can see me on camera. Ben, do you have your screen up?
Yes, I do.
No notes in front of me when I tell you the story.
Oh,
See, no
very, very.
notes.
Yes. Yeah. Elio really is the encyclopedia of both wrestling POV and the PNC Progression Wrestling podcast. And I would need notes because well, one, I wasn't alive when this WrestleMania took place. But I would definitely need notes to do an in-depth dive.
However, you will be alive the following week when we head to New York City for SummerSlam.
Yay! It took it took 8 episodes apparently, according to my math, but I'm finally alive. Yay!
Alright, so that is it for NXT Deadline and ROH Final Battle. Ben, do we have anything else?
No, I don't think we do.
Alright, so go ahead.
For the Dean, aka the Professor, Elio Cannella, he has a
Nails
new.
across the board.
Yes, he literally did nails on his wall to emulate that sound, ladies and gentlemen. Holy shit! That is literally my favorite ending to a podcast ever. I don't even have to follow that. So Elio, what are you doing? Hit the damn outro music.